I'd like to talk to you tonight about a stronghold. What is a stronghold? And we'll get to our scripture in a moment, and you'll understand perhaps where I'm going to go here for a few minutes. But I thought it'd be interesting to study ancient history a little bit and see what was a stronghold back in the day, and what's the Bible talking about when it talks about a stronghold. So we're going to go clear back to probably like Genesis, maybe late Genesis. And you see, when people began to have settlements, they would live together for safety, because they would soon realize that there were many people that were going to take their best to take advantage of you, and they're going to try to steal your crops, because it'd be a lot easier just to wait till harvest time and come steal your food than to plant it and harvest it and put all that work in. And so they would live together in small communities for safety. Then they began to build walls around that. So I want you to think a little bit about the Indians and our history of the pioneers that went west. And so there would be forts strategically placed throughout the west. And if you heard that the Indians were coming, you grabbed your people and your stuff and you ran into the fort, and that was a place of safety. So they would put these walls, and the stronger the walls, the bigger the walls, the higher the walls, the more safe it was. Now, they would also put gates in there. So these had to be climbed over, obviously, for the enemy to get to you. These strong walled cities became a place of offense as well. If you decided you wanted to have a little army to protect you, and then you decided maybe that you needed to fight the incoming Indians or whomever they might be, so that was a place for your army to rest and regroup and for supplies to be built. Now, soon in old ancient times, these communities that became cities, that became walled forts, so to speak, or a fortress, then they become like a city-state. So they're getting more and more powerful. So then they begin to decide, well, we're going to subdue the people around us, and we're going to be in charge of them. Maybe a little power trip they were going on there. And so that was places like Babylon and Nineveh. If you study those, it just grew and grew, and these were huge, huge walled cities or fortresses or strongholds. So a strong walled city, the word strong obviously means able to withstand the enemy's attack. So the enemy's coming, I can hold them off. A hold is like a fenced city, a fort, a castle. So a stronghold, it's not going to be easily taken down. These were often located on a tall hill or a cliff. They would have high, wide walls, and generally they'd be made of stone that would actually withstand as well. So in history also, no army could successfully defeat an opponent if they allowed those strongholds to stay within the territory. Those had to be taken down. So let's look at some Bible strongholds. We want to understand what was Paul talking about when he talked about strongholds in the New Testament. So first of all, we're going to look at a couple of strongholds in the Bible in the Old Testament. So in Numbers chapter 13, you don't have to turn to that one if you don't want, but Moses was sending spies into Canaan. So they're getting ready to go into Canaan land. And remember, he sent the 12 spies, and he gives them some instructions. So one of them was, go see the land. But then he says, here's what I want you to see. I want you to see, do the people, do they live in a city? Do they live in a tent? Or do they live in a stronghold? Oh, Moses needed to know ahead of time, what am I dealing with? Are they just hanging out there, scattered all over the place? Or are they in this fortress? High walls, hard to conquer. All right? Now, Jericho, that was going to be the first stronghold that the children of Israel were going to have to conquer when they came in to the Canaan land. And so I looked up this map, but I thought it was interesting. If you'll look here, and this here is a part of it, what we know today is Israel. And so the Israelites are coming up through this land here. I think it was the land of the Moabites, if I'm not mistaken. And they're going to go in to Canaan land. But before they can get in, so Jericho was like a stronghold kind of there at the mouth of the entrance. It was going to be very vital that they take that stronghold before that they could take anything else. If they're going to leave that one stand and they're going to go past it, then you got the enemy at your back all the time, and that's not going to be wise. So Jericho is believed to be one of the oldest cities in the Bible. And it was a key city. As I said, strategic border city. And it actually controlled important travel routes. So from Jericho to the coast was a very important travel route that it was on. So it was very... it was a stronghold that Israel had to conquer. So in Numbers 13 and 28, like we talked about before, this report, they said the cities, this is in the Amplified, they're fortified. That means they're walled. They're large. Yeah, they're strongholds, Moses. This is pretty scary. So how was Jericho defeated? It had to be defeated. It was a stronghold. But how did they do it? God gave Joshua specific instructions. Did he say, get your bow and arrow and your gun and your cannon and get your sword and go fight? No. He said, I want you to march silently for 7 days. 6 days once, 7 days, seven. I want you to walk in silence. This is God's word. Sometimes God's word is confusing and doesn't make a lot of sense. But we got to do it because God knows what he's doing. So obey God's word. Walk in silence. Then when it's time, I want the priest to blow the trumpet. We come to church, we hear the trumpet blown, don't we? We hear the pastor, the preachers preaching. They're blowing the trumpet. So there's a second thing that had to happen to get this stronghold down. And then, what were the people to do? Shout. Give some praise. And then the stronghold just fell down because they were walking in obedience to God's word. That was how Jericho, the stronghold, came down. Now, there was another stronghold that I studied. It was called the Fortress of Zion, or David City, or Jerusalem is more commonly how we know it. Now, the people that actually were in this stronghold were called the Jebusites. And they had lost a battle with Joshua. So think about from the time to Joshua to the David. So it's quite a while back. The Jebusites, their king, joined up with other kings. And they went and they attacked Israel and Joshua. And there was a big battle. And Joshua won. And they conquered them. But they never were able to take their city, which was called Zion. They were never able to take that stronghold. And so that stayed there as a pagan stronghold all these years from Joshua till we get to David. Now King David, David's made king, and he says, this has to be taken. This stronghold has to be taken. Well, why? What happened? What does it hurt to leave it? What does it hurt? As long as they stay over there, you stay over there, and we'll stay over here, we'll be fine, right? They don't do that. Pagans, their worship begins to affect Israel. Pretty soon, pagans start intermarrying. We got Jebusites marrying God's people. We have pagan worship, then idol worship begins to affect God's people. That's why God said, you got to get them out of here. The Jebusites were believed to be involved in child sacrifice, which obviously is a hideous practice. And so God wanted them driven out. But it's a stronghold. Nobody's been able to take it. And so David's looking at it. What are we going to do? How are we going to take this stronghold? How are we going to pull it down or conquer it? While there was a probably less or little known tunnel under the city that the Jebusites could go down through. It was very narrow. I had read in one place only one man at a time could go to get water out of a nearby spring. And David's men found out about it. And so they went up through that tunnel one man at a time and took the city. And it became David's city, or it became Jerusalem. There was another way to take a stronghold. All right, what about the stronghold of Babylon? Now, this story you probably know. This was protected by a massive system of double walls. The walls, the outer walls, were 17 miles long and 22 feet thick. That's how wide they were. And they were 90 feet high. And then wherever there was a guard tower was another 100 feet high. And the city gates were made of bronze. I would say that is a strong hold. The Euphrates River ran right through it to the city. So you're going to have a siege. You're going to have the enemy decide they're going to circle around and camp out and prevent you from getting water. Ha! No, the river comes right through the city. It was said they had 20 years worth of food stored up in that city. They were not worried about the enemy. And when the Persians came and surrounded their city, commentators say they were indifferent. In fact, what did their king do during this huge long siege that was supposed to take down this stronghold? What did the king do? His name was what? Belshazzar. What did Belshazzar do? He partied. Not for just one day. Some say it went on for weeks and weeks, this big, long, drunken party, because he was so sure that those 17 mile long, 22 feet thick, 90 feet high walls and bronze gates with locks were going to protect them. Nobody could take this stronghold, right? Wrong. Cyrus and Darius came along, and what did they do with the Euphrates River? They diverted it over into some marshy land. They dug a channel, diverted the river, and they were able to come in either a dry riverbed, or the river was really low. But wait a minute, there was bronze gates, right? Those gates should have prevented them, except for the drunken soldiers forgot to lock the gates. What? See, God knew. He was angry at Belshazzar. Belshazzar, remember, he came and he said to have the sacred vessels from the temple used in his drunken party. God said, this stronghold's coming down. I don't care how thick your walls are, how wide they are, they're coming down. Now in 1948, on a road to Jerusalem, strategically placed on this road was a fortress, and it's called the Latron Fortress. It was in control of the Arab legionaries. And whenever the supply vehicles would try to come down this road, they would shell those vehicles, the Israeli vehicles, and they could not bring supplies to Jerusalem. This stronghold needed to be taken down. But they couldn't. If I'm not mistaken, I read somewhere they said three times they tried to take it. Another place said five times they made an assault on this fortress and they could not take it down. And so, how was that stronghold conquered? Well, a makeshift camouflaged road was made through a mountain pass. They just went another direction. It was called the Burma Road, and it was a different route to Jerusalem, and they were able to get supplies in, because not only was the fortress preventing supplies, they had actually cut a water main to that city, and they were preventing water. And so the Israelis were able just to circumvent it and go a different direction. And pretty soon that fortress no longer had any power because they had been able to go around it. And I read an article and it said today that fortress is uninhabited. And not only that, there's a museum nearby where you can see military vehicles, military armor that was used in those times. It's completely pulled down, so to speak. So our text in 2 Corinthians 10, chapter 10 and verse 4, if you want to turn there, chapter 10 and verse 4, a very well-known scripture. Because I want you to hopefully understand what the Apostle Paul was talking about when he said strongholds. We talked about literal strongholds to help us understand spiritual strongholds. And the Apostle Paul said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not guns. They're not arrows. They're not cannons. They're not swords. But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Well, Paul said we must have some strongholds. Has anybody got a great big strong tower preventing you from getting fed and getting water? Is there one on the road from here to your house that you're worried about? Oh, wait, I don't think he's talking about literal strongholds, is he? He's talking about strongholds right here in our mind. Strongholds in our mind. So we've studied what a literal stronghold does, the danger of it, some ways God helped them be pulled down. Let's compare that to a spiritual stronghold. So just like Jericho was preventing Israel from getting into the promised land, any stronghold in your life is preventing you from making progress with God. It's preventing you from having victory. It's something that you continually keep trying, like the Latron stronghold. You've made multiple attempts to pull this down and it's not working. It's something that hinders you continually. I've made a list here, but these may not even be what you're battling with. But it could be things like depression. That can be a stronghold. Resentment. It could be drugs or alcohol. It could be unresolved anger. It could be a negative thought pattern just continually going in your mind, and you cannot get victory over that. It might be a bad temper. It might be pornography. It might be pride. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's critical. Spirit, you're always finding fault. Nothing's ever right. Nobody ever does anything right. It's always problems. Maybe it's lies about God. You believe those lies. Or about yourself. You look in the mirror and there's all kinds of lies you're telling yourself, and it's a stronghold. You can't pull it down. You've tried. Perhaps it's human reasoning. Well, I don't think. I've tried to understand, but I don't think. So these are strongholds, examples in our mind that are preventing us from getting to a place of victory, from making progress with God. Are you just going to learn to live with it? Like Jericho? Oh, as long as they stay over there and we stay over here, it'll be okay. No, your stronghold's going to plague you. It's going to attack you. It's going to give you trouble. Right. You can't just leave it there. You can't just pretend it'll go away. It won't. Think about the So when the Jebusites intermarried and they continued their pagan practices and it began to affect Israel, this was not God's will. That stronghold was not God's will. I'm sure God wanted that to come down when the battle was fought in the time of Joshua. He didn't want that stronghold to go clear from the time of Joshua to the time of King David. How many people were lost in that time because they were affected by the pagans? So that strategic placement had to go. Now, Paul said we can't use carnal weapons. What are our carnal weapons? Oh, we just grit our teeth. I am going to make this happen. I am going to make this go away. I'm going to make this problem stop. I am stronger than that. I'm better than that. I will get the victory over it. And we use our fleshly carnal weapons. And we think, I'm going to pull that stronghold down. But we can't do it. Paul says, God's weapons are mighty. We're using the wrong weapons. So, where to start in pulling down your strongholds? We can get some advice from how some of these strongholds were pulled down in the Bible. What did Moses do? First thing, what did I tell you he did? Sent some spies out to see where are those strongholds. Get those magnifying glasses out. Where are those strongholds? Get the binoculars out, I think is what I meant. What did Joshua do before marching around Jericho? Same thing. He sent some spies in, didn't he? So we need to identify and admit we have a stronghold. We need to identify that's a stronghold in my life. We might have to have a spiritual leader help us. I highly doubt Joshua just said, oh, hey, you know, 12-year-old Bob and 15-year-old Sam, you two, go spy it out. These had to be, I believe they were trusted men, probably experienced men. They're going to need to know how to blend in and how to be careful and how to look for the enemy's weaknesses. And sometimes we just got to have help, young people. You might want to go to your parents or a spiritual leader, your Sunday school teacher, your pastor. Say, you know what? I think I've got a stronghold. I think if there's something in my life here I can't get victory over no matter how much I've tried. And I need you to help me to identify it and know how to battle this. Then you need to go to the war room. Now, if you've studied much about war, there's a place that the leaders come together and plan strategy. Where might your war room be? Well, probably your prayer closet, I'd say. Get in your prayer closet with God, because he's the general in this battle. And you don't know how to pull this stronghold down. More than likely, you've already tried. So ask God, first of all, Lord, please forgive me for allowing this to just stay here for so long. And I think about a stronghold, it probably starts with just like, think about one or two stones. I thought about bringing in some cardboard boxes and build one. And that don't look so bad when it's just one stone or two. But over time, it gets bigger and taller and stronger. And we sure don't want one like Babylon's. Those walls were terribly high. So God, please forgive me for letting this be here for so long. And what is the plan, God? How can this be pulled down? We need to ask God, is this a Jericho? If I read my Bible and I go hear the preaching and I stand in obedience, you'll just pull it down? Or maybe it's a Jerusalem. Maybe I got to tunnel down. I got to dig into God's word. I might need to do a little bit of a Bible study. I really need to get into the word of God and dig deep to help this one be conquered. Or maybe it's a Babylon. Maybe I need to divert the lifeline. Maybe I need to starve it. Now, what feeds strongholds that are in here? What feeds it? Your thoughts. Your thoughts feed it. I had one this morning that was trying to work on me. I have areas I know my thought pattern, and boy, it was going and going, and I just started had to pray and shut that door. I have to starve it, divert the Euphrates River, so to speak. Don't feed it. Cut off supplies to that stronghold. Or maybe it'll be a latron. God says, you know what? Right now, I'm going to pull that down in time. But right now, I want you just to completely avoid it. That temptation, stay completely away from it. I want you just to go completely different direction. And in my time, I can turn that stronghold into a museum of victory. We can actually display God's tools in this museum, the weapons that helped you win this victory. Number three, put on your weapons. The Christian's armor. Salvation. Young people, if you're not saved, you have no power to pull down strongholds. And whether you're saved or unsaved, you're going to battle things like depression, negative thought patterns, anger, addictions, anxiety. There's going to be strongholds you're going to battle no matter whether you're saved or not. You're going to have no power without God. So put on that weapon of salvation, of prayer, of Bible study, of faith. Ask God to examine your armor. Maybe you're not wearing it right. Psalms 26:2 in the International Children's Bible says, look closely into my heart and in my mind. That's where the battle's being fought. Lord, what are my weapons looking like? Is my shield upside down? Is my helmet on backwards? Is there something I need to work on here? Ask God for fighting directions. In Jericho, they marched silently in obedience to God's word. They surrounded the stronghold with faith and obedience. Maybe your stronghold just needs you to quietly surround it with obedience to God's word, whatever he's telling you to do. Just surround it. Maybe it's Babylon. Like I said, cut off the lifeline. Your thoughts give strength to strongholds. But Colossians 3:2 in the Amplified says, set your mind. Now, when I think about set, I think about doing this. And sometimes in my mind, I almost have to be that forceful. I will not think about this. I will not let my mind dwell on this. And people, maybe you will never have this fight, but I have mental battles sometimes that want to drown me. And the Bible says, set your mind on things above. We have to fight it. We cannot allow that stronghold to grow and grow and grow, because it will conquer us. And so set your mind. And the Amplified says, keep it focused habitually on things above. Well, maybe that sounds forceful, but I get angry when the devil keeps coming at me with these same things. I want victory when my mind begins to plague me and that stronghold tries to come back. And maybe it's Latron. Maybe God says we got to get as far away from this as possible. And the thought came to me today, there's danger in rebuilding strongholds. So what if God's helped you to identify them, and with help of God, your stronghold has been pulled down, but the devil's always going to try to rebuild it. Did you know that when Jericho came down, Joshua pronounced a curse on it? Did anybody know that? What was the curse? In Joshua 6:26, Joshua said, if anybody rebuilds this city, basically your firstborn son's going to die and your youngest son's going to die. Do not rebuild this stronghold. And for 500 years, nobody rebuilt it. But then in the days of Ahab, which was a wicked king, a man by the name of Hiel, Heel, I'm assuming, he decided he would rebuild the city of Jericho. He was going to rebuild that stronghold. And guess what happened to his firstborn son? 1 Kings 16:34 tells us he died. And guess what happened to his youngest son? Same verse tells us he died. The cost of rebuilding that stronghold is a warning to us, young people. If we can get victory, and we can get these strongholds torn down, the devil is going to do his best to rebuild them. Why? Because he knows how successful he was. And what cost of if we do not fight against that? What could be the cost of not keeping those strongholds down or pulled down? And people, God has a plan for whatever stronghold is in your life or is trying to build in your life. Get to your war room. The general has a plan for pulling these down. Beware of the devil's strongholds.